give a growl grunt for joy. It's the Crispy Noodle Podcast. That's the only way I could describe that, is a growl grunt.
Yes.
It's a growl grunt yell. A growl.
You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
A real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. How you guys doing? I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we are here to give you some interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news and other things that we may stumble across in this journey across the path of news, pop culture. That is, simply put, the meal for your mind. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for joining us on this week. Man, it's been a while.
I know. I'm back.
Yes, Mike's back. Yay!
I was on vacation.
Yeah, that's right. Officially, last week was our summer break, but we timed it perfectly because last week's episode was our episode at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. So in the podcast feed, you still had a fresh episode, but for us, yeah, it's been 2 weeks since I've seen you, Mike.
I know, it doesn't sound like that long, but for two people that do this every single week for the past 6.5 years straight, having that gap there, it's like, oh man,
yeah,
you're missing a little something, you know. So I'm really happy to be back at it, recording on our regular schedule again.
Yes, regularly scheduled program,
and I love the little surprise of the new intro.
Yeah.
You had cooked up there.
Yeah, you know, got to throw a fresh coat of paint on it.
Yeah, you know, that's us. Every 6 years, we like to change things up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's been a while, so yeah. we had to put some new wheels on that thing. So, yeah, we got
that sounds real good.
A fresh new opener to start the show, and yeah, but it's still the same podcast that you know and love with sports, entertainment, and odd news, which we'll get to in just a minute. But, Mike, this is the question everybody's been asking. How was your vacation? It's been, you know, you weren't at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival.
Yeah.
Everybody was wondering where Mike was, and I had to tell everyone that he was down with the Costanzo caravan and holding the sausage and making sure everything was in tip top shape.
Sausage!
So
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a good time. We go to Ocean City, New Jersey every year, of course. It was a group of what? I mean, it had to have been at least 16 or 17 of us, probably even more. We had four toddlers, three years and younger, from 3 years to 2 months old. So that made it, you know, even more hectic and crazy, but also a lot of fun. It's fun to watch the kids, you know, play in the water and play in the sand and experience all these things for the first time. We had a lot of fun, played a lot of games, spent a lot of time on the beach, spent a lot of time just hanging out with family. There's one thing that I want to talk about, though. On the boardwalk, there's this store that I went to, and it was amazing. It's called Goodies Gone Wild. Okay, I don't know if
Goodies Gone Wild.
Goodies Gone Wild. Look it up. They only have two locations. One's in Ocean City, and I don't know where the other one is, but it's somewhere in Pennsylvania.
You'd be a fantastic ad person.
I know. It's like, come into our location in I don't know, and
yes,
also I don't know.
The first location and the second location.
But at both those locations, you can go to the store, and they have what sold me, what drew me in, was the fact that it advertised 100 different types of international soda. I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. But that wasn't what kept me in the store. What kept me in the store was, you know that I'm a fan of this, weird exotic game meat.
Okay.
So they had
jerky.
And it was expensive, but I had to. I bought kangaroo jerky.
Yep.
We
had that on the show.
Uh-huh. I bought python jerky.
Python?
Yes. And then wait for it, camel jerky.
Okay.
It was not very good.
If you watch Rush Hour, you know camel is actually a delicacy.
Is it really?
Yes, because...
Well, because the jerky doesn't taste good at all.
Because Jackie Chan, he orders... He goes to, like, an actual Chinese food place with Chris Tucker. Chris Tucker doesn't know what to order. And Jackie Chan goes, I want camel hump. And Jackie... and Chris Tucker freaks out. You know, he's like, what the hell is... What is that camel's hump?
Yeah.
So, yeah. That is something, yeah, that it is eaten.
But you can get it at this Goody's Gone Wild place. And it didn't just stop at the jerky. I only got the jerky because I couldn't figure out a logical way to transport the actual meat and steaks that they sold. Because they actually sold kangaroo and bison and camel.
And what was the name of the place?
Goody's Gone Wild. It was like hundreds of types of hot sauce. It was weird stuff like, you know, like how they sell edible bugs nowadays.
Yeah.
Like chocolate-covered bugs and spicy things. And
oh, it's basically like a clone of the American jerky outlet.
Basically, except on steroids, because it had international sodas, it had all the types of hot sauce, and it had really weird exotic game meat. But you could buy hamburgers and steaks of all these different exotic animals. And I really badly wanted to buy, you know, a couple of kangaroo burgers and bring them back, but I couldn't figure out, like, what am I supposed to do with them walking around on the boardwalk in 90-degree heat?
Yeah, that's not going to preserve well.
No, that's not a good idea. So I got the jerky instead, and it was fine. It all tasted like teriyaki. The main difference was the python. It had this weirdly soft texture, and it was very, like, upsetting. Because it's not
upsetting.
It's not what you would expect jerky. You bite into it, you're like, oh, that's not what I'm used to tasting when I have jerky. And it was just a little weird. But it was really cool. Okay. So if anybody's in the Ocean City, New Jersey area or random location in Pennsylvania area, go check out this store. I wish I could remember where it was.
It's Pennsylvania.
There's one in Pennsylvania, yeah, but I can't remember where it is.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up for you right now.
Maybe all
right.
While you look that up, I'll tell you what I did during the week.
Yeah. You guys had the live show.
Yeah. And it came out really well. So obviously, if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, check out our last episode. That was our live appearance at the Philadelphia Podcast Festival. A lot of fun.
It's Easton, PA.
Oh, that's not far from here.
No, not at all.
In the grand scheme of things.
Right.
I mean, it's still probably like an hour and change drive, but, you know, Pennsylvania, you could say Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's still, you know,
right,
Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
That's an 8-hour drive or something.
It's not impossibly far away.
Right. That's what I was trying to get.
So anyway, the podcast festival.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a great show. Definitely check it out. It was a lot of fun. And then the week... I actually didn't realize that I planned it like this, but I went to two different rock concerts in the week you were gone, Mike.
Oh, wow.
So,
nice.
Yes, it filled up my time.
You were just waiting for me to leave.
Yeah, I got to get to all these concerts.
Get in all your concerts.
Yeah. First one was Iron Maiden. Yeah.
Okay.
Got to rock out some Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
That was a lot, you know, just, you know. You know, it's funny. The last time I saw Iron Maiden, Ghost opened up for him.
Ah.
And I think a little bit of Ghost rubbed off on Iron Maiden. Because their set was like completely, I don't know, I can't really describe it on auditory measures, but like their set background stretched out to like the corner and almost the sides. Like it was
okay.
More extensive rather than just like a simple backdrop.
Right.
And also every song that Iron Maiden played had a different backdrop. Like they would at the end of every song the lights would go down and just like whoosh, another different backdrop appeared behind them depending on the song.
So they're up in the production value is what you're saying.
Yeah,
they're making it more of like a show.
Yeah, I think they got Maiden has always done a visual show. They usually have Eddie the Head come out and you know that's always been a staple of their shows. But I think after going on tour with Ghost, I think they were like, I think maybe we could do something a little different, you know,
a little
spice
more theatric.
Up. Yeah. So okay. I you know, maybe I'm being a little naive, but I'd like to think that maybe a little bit of Ghost rubbed off on Maiden.
Ghost is just changing the music industry from top to bottom.
That's what I would. Right. That's what I would go with. But, you know, then again, I'm a little bit biased, so maybe you shouldn't trust me.
No,
on that.
Not at all.
So, yeah, the first one was Iron Maiden. And then the second show was Queen. Featuring Adam Lambert.
Yeah, how was that?
That was actually an amazing show, and I got to give props to Adam Lambert. He fills in the shoes to be Queen's frontman pretty effortlessly.
I mean, those are big shoes to fill.
Yeah,
obviously.
And you know, sure with the movie, with the Bohemian Rhapsody movie that just came out, you know, it was a sold out show at the Wells Fargo Center. So you know, it was one of those things where either people were always into Queen or they were just getting in the Queen because of the movie. But hey, you know, we'll take all newcomers, you know.
Exactly. And that's how you keep the fan bases growing, is you have to welcome in the new people.
Right. And real quick, the one thing I want to mention from the Queen show, though, was very emotional moment where Brian May, the original guitarist in Queen, he did a 3-song acoustic set in the middle of the set list. And one of the songs was Love of My Life.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The emotional romance
ballad,
song.
Yeah.
And at the end of the song, first off, everybody was already getting a little, you know, emotional because it is a very emotional song. And, you know, you have the whole cell phone lights, everyone holding their lights and everything. But they really hit it home, because what they did was they had him center stage but slightly off to the left. And behind them, behind Brian May, was an LED screen.
Right.
And off to the right, they had video footage of Freddie Mercury finishing the song in tune with him playing the acoustic guitar. That was just it was almost a little surreal, you know.
Wow, that's pretty. I mean, I just got chills thinking about it. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, he's gone, but in a way, he's still not really gone.
Well, I mean, his music, the legacy of what he accomplished, is always going to live on.
Yeah.
You know.
So it was a really great night of a great week of rock. It just all over the place here in Philly. It was a lot of great shows to go see, and I took advantage of it.
Yeah. I mean, that Queen show must have been amazing.
Yeah. So there you go. That's what we've been up to in the last 2 weeks. So without further ado, how about we do go into stuff that we need to update you on? And the first batch of topics revolve around sports. We call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face.
Oh, yeah. Sports coming at you in your face. And we're going to hit a couple topics in 2 minutes or less in the 2-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. The clock is armed and go.
All right. Let's do it. First up in the 2-minute drill, a little bit of legal football news. U.S. District Court judge has rejected a lawsuit tied to the Rams-Saints playoff no-call from last season. Can you believe this is still going on?
This is so asinine.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I can't believe this is still happening.
Listen to how dumb this gets. Saints fans.
I hate the Saints. I'm sorry.
I completely agree.
Right now, my hatred is number one, Cowboys fans. Number two, maybe I don't know. You know what? No, Saints. I'm sick and tired of this nonsense.
I agree.
You lost the game. Get over it.
You know what? And the judges agree with you. Saints fans just can't seem to take a hint. This is now the third federal lawsuit that has been rejected. There's only one state court lawsuit left. This particular class action lawsuit was from ticket purchasers who claimed that the NFL and game officials broke a legal promise that the game would be played fairly and believed that Commissioner Goodell would remedy any unfair acts by reversing the results or rescheduling all or part of the game. This is, of course, completely ludicrous, as Judge Susie Morgan points out, quote, "The plaintiffs do not allege Goodell promised to reverse the game's results or reschedule the game. This representation is not sufficient to constitute an actionable promise because it does not manifest an intention to act or not to act in a specified manner." In layman's terms, you guys are dumb. Goodell never said he was going to reverse it. Get over it. You lost. You would have lost in the Super Bowl anyway. Bye-bye.
Yeah, the Saints pissed me off. This is now just another thorn in my side. I don't respect Sean Payton.
Oh, scumbag.
I think the whole Bounty Bowl thing, that's it. He should have been out of the league. He shouldn't be playing right now.
Absolutely.
He shouldn't be coaching right now.
Absolutely.
Kamara, he's an airhead, hothead that just blows his own, his own ego and everything. I don't like him. Ugh.
Boo Saints.
Boo Saints. Ah! You know it's bad when I'm actually putting them
above
the Patriots.
Well, I mean, you put them above the Patriots and two of our division rivals.
Well, here's the thing. The Redskins and the Giants, at this point, they're just pathetic.
Yeah, but I still don't like them, though. You still got to hate them. You got to muster that rage, you know? No?
Nah, I don't know. They're just lame. Like
they're just lame.
Yeah, I mean, like it's not even worth being angry about.
You're not wrong.
You know? And yeah, so that's the way I feel about those two. But to be above the Patriots in my system is pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, you have long hated the Patriots For reasons unknown. You're just crazy over there.
No, I'm not. I just don't want to... Are you really going to be happy if Brady wins a seventh Super Bowl?
No, I'm not going to be happy, but I'm not going to be, like, overly overwhelmed with depression and anger and distraught over it like some people get. I mean, they act like it's the end of the world. It is what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
Play better like the Eagles did that year.
Well, you know... I tell you, this is something that we can get excited about. All this football talk does indeed mean that football is back.
Yes!
The preseason is going to start.
Finally!
Mike, it is your time to shine now.
It's like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. It is time for football season once again.
No more golf. I can't. Unless we talk about the FedEx playoffs.
No. What is this nonsense?
Let's go over to FedEx over here.
No.
The FedEx golf
the
playoffs.
The only FedEx I know is FredEx, Freddie Mitchell from the Eagles, early 2000s.
Okay, wow. That's a really deep dive there.
I'm trying to pull all the football connections I can. I'm so excited for the season. Is it weird that one of the things I'm excited for is the impending Cowboys implosion that we see coming over the horizon?
Oh yeah,
this is the first, it's
funny. I just kind of labeled this as just general football talk, you know,
because
we're very excited for the season.
We just want to talk about whatever, and this is like the biggest topic
right now. Yeah, we're gonna jump right into Ezekiel Elliott. He's the big free agent holdout right now. He wants to cash in. I mean, he's been the rushing leader two out of last three seasons,
and I mean, it makes sense. He makes that team work.
And he's still on a rookie contract.
And he's still on a rookie contract, and he sees all these other running backs like Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell getting big deals, and he wants that same type of money. Here's the issue, though. He wants $15 million a year, and you have Ezekiel Elliott, you have Dak Prescott, future franchise quarterback, and wide receiver Amari Cooper all angling for deals now. So as Eagles fans, we're watching this very carefully because if the Cowboys don't, or I should say if the Cowboys mishandle this, they're going to lose one of these extremely talented players, or they could sign them all to monster contracts and severely hinder their ability to further grow their team.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a disadvantage with any move that they make.
Right, and they're not cap magicians like Howie Roseman, because you got Jerry Jones over there running the show, and he's crazy.
Yes, that too.
So what's at play here right now is that Elliott wants his $15 million a year, according to some reports. And that currently there are offers extended to all three players that would pay them in the top five of all of their respective positions, which is a lot of money for three players on a 53-man roster.
They offered it for all three of them?
All three of them would get top five money at their position.
Yeah, I mean, if Dallas does that, they don't have any money to spend on anybody else. That's it.
Yeah, you're talking like 30 to 40% of your salary on three people. Like, that's insane. Dak Prescott's going to pull at least $25 million a year. At least. And if, let's say, Ezekiel Elliott gets, you know, about 12, you figure Cooper's got to get at least 12 as well.
Mm-hmm. All-star wide out.
You're looking at like nearly $50 million for three people.
Yeah, that's
every year.
That's
that is crazy.
40 to 50% of the cap. 30.
What's the cap? 180, 200, something like that? I always forget.
Yeah, I always forget.
I know it's not quite 200, I don't think.
Okay.
It would be a lot of money.
It'd be around 20 to 25% then if it's around
there.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up the salary cap.
Okay, you look up the salary cap. Personally,
it's $188 million.
$188 million, and you're saying that takes up $50 million.
So
if roughly they all signed.
That's about 20. Yeah. That's about 27%.
That's a huge chunk.
You have to sign 53 players.
Yeah,
and that is more than a quarter of your salary. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. So there's always, no matter what move that the Cowboys make in this, there's always a disadvantage to it, because either they're going to lose one of these three players or they sign all three of them and they don't, then all of a sudden then they're cap strapped. They won't be able to sign anybody else or re-sign anybody else.
Right.
Sean Lee, huge.
Exactly.
Defense wins championships.
And I know they have a whole bunch of other young defensive players that they really like on that team. They have that offensive line that they have to keep on the team to protect all of these, you know, offensive weapons. So it's getting real tricky now.
Yeah. At some point, yeah, Dallas has got to make a move on this. So all we need now is just a match to light the the sparks to fly.
Come on, Jerry.
Yeah.
Come on, Jerry. Well, all he needs to do is get his little old creepy grave crypt fingers in there.
Well, do you think he'll actually let this whole... Right now, the problem is Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott right now has not reported to any Dallas Cowboys practices. Do you think this is actually going to be a big holdout? Is he going to miss game time?
I think that Le'Veon Bell changed the conversation around these sorts of things. I think that he set the standard, and now players are going to say, look, if he did it, you know, maybe we can do it. Maybe we can rest up our bodies and get a payday after that. You know, if we don't like a situation with one team, we can get out and get just as big a payday with another team. So all it took was one player to set the precedent. Now, is Ezekiel Elliott going to be that smart? Is he going to show that sort of ability to delay gratification, to delay his payout in order to potentially get something much bigger down the line? That's another question. He hasn't shown great self-control, as we've seen with all his off-the-field issues. So,
you know, that's funny you bring that up, because that is something that has to go into the factor.
Well, he's a young, hot-headed kid. You know, is he going to look at it from the business perspective, or is he just going to moan and whine and grumble? I mean, there's two different ways to handle it. He could be the T.O. prima donna, or he could be the Le'Veon Bell, just sit and wait.
But here's something else to consider. Since he has these off the field issues, I mean, he got suspended 6 games, and he was dancing on another suspension too. If it fell the wrong way, do you think maybe that causes a lot of concern as to re-signing him and having him stay a Cowboy?
No,
it would
cause an issue with other teams, but not the Cowboys. They gave no, Rich. In all seriousness, they gave Greg Hardy. They gave Greg Hardy another shot.
That is the best answer. You're probably, yeah, I think, yeah.
I'm not wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
They gave a lot of people that have much worse claims against them than Ezekiel Elliott a second and third. And I'm all about giving, you know, second chances, but not people that are guilty of the things that they're accused of.
Wow.
So for the Cowboys, no, Jerry's not even, that's not even on the radar.
Wow, okay.
Not even in the slightest.
All right.
Look at how they treat him now.
All right.
You know, there's been no discipline from the Cowboys for his actions. At least none that I've seen as
not
a
from
bystander.
The, not from the franchise, but from the
no,
NFL.
From
yeah.
the NFL, yeah, but not the franchise.
All right. Well, there you go. So that was a great answer. This is the Cowboys.
I mean, you got to call them like you see them.
All right. Well, in the grand scheme of things, Dallas Cowboys right now, according to Vegas, have a 20-1 odds to win Super Bowl 2020.
Where does that place them in the overall rankings of it? Middle of the pack?
North
of half?
North of half, yeah, but not any further.
Okay.
The favorites, of course, are the Patriots.
Of course. Whoa, shocker there.
Yeah. Chiefs right behind them.
That makes sense.
Then the Rams and the Saints at 10-1.
Okay.
Then we've got like a tier of these like division winners. They're all at 14-1.
Are the Eagles in there?
Colts, Bears, Packers, Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All at 14-1 there.
You said Packers?
Yeah.
Nope.
Vegas?
No,
Vegas
no.
likes the Packers. Yeah.
No, they're in the 20-1 bracket with the Cowboys. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong.
Well, hold on. We'll get into
okay.
Chargers 16-1, and then these like middling teams here: Browns, Steelers, Cowboys, Vikings, all at 20-1.
And this is to win the Super Bowl, not
yeah.
make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's all. Okay. Those bets are all to win the Super Bowl. So
okay.
yeah, I was going to ask out of those teams, which one's kind of the most overrated, but I think we have our answer because Mike already just jumped the gun on me.
I mean, yeah, you guys know of my disdain I was about to say the Patriots.
Yeah,
the Packers. No,
yeah.
No, according to Rich, I'm a secret Patriots fan.
Yeah, apparently you are.
No, I just appreciate good football when I see it, and they've had the best football the past 2 decades. What do you want me to do? Not enjoy good football?
I want new teams. All right, I don't want the pit. Tom Brady's going to, if he wins a 7th Super Bowl, like, come on.
I don't think he will. There's never been a quarterback this old accomplished. Well, we said that last year, too.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. They're history makers, I tell you. But no, the most.
Can't keep getting away with it.
All right. Calm down, Jesse. Breaking Bad reference.
Yep.
I think the Packers are the most overrated. The Rams, and the Saints I can still see. If the Saints can get out of their own way and out of their own head, I mean, Jesus Christ, I can't stand the Saints, but I understand how they're that highly ranked. The Packers are the only one that I can't make a great case for because I don't see them getting demonstrably better than they were. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same team.
The Packers?
Yeah, middle-of-the-road offense and defense, and then you got Aaron Rodgers.
For the first time, they actually made a couple free agent signings. That was actually rare.
Can't remember who they got.
They got a couple key players on defense. So maybe
getting key players on defense doesn't mean, remember that the dream team that we had where we signed Nnamdi Asamoah?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, we were going straight to the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, we went straight to the toilet.
Just plugging players into the system doesn't always work. And I feel like that's what they're trying to do. They feel like, oh, we have a winning formula. We just need one or two pieces. But they don't have a winning formula, or else they would have been winning the past few years.
Yeah, everyone forgets the Packers last year went 6-9-1.
Yeah,
that's an atrocious record.
Exactly.
So yeah, I don't. As much as I respect Aaron Rodgers, I would definitely see your argument that the Packers might be overrated. Out of those teams.
Okay, so that was my most overrated, but who's your most overrated?
My most overrated on this team, on this list,
You're going to say Rams.
I think the Rams, by virtue of the fact that they're the reigning NFC champions and...
Yeah, but that performance.
Yeah, the performance left a bad taste, but I think it's fair that they're that high.
Okay.
I'm going to go, I would say the Steelers. I don't know.
Oh, I forgot they were there.
Yeah.
What were they? 20-1?
20-1. So they are lower on the squad, but you know, they got to deal with the Browns.
They lost a lot
of players. The Browns are coming for them. They're going.
Oh, yeah.
They pushed a lot of chips into this season, which that could also blow up in their face. But on the other hand, they could be a potent offense, and Baker Mayfield has changed that city around. Right now, he is the saint of Cleveland.
The Browns last year were only 2 wins away from the Steelers.
Yeah.
And that was without Odell Beckham Jr. And that was
Under the stupid asshole,
Hugh
Jackson. Oh, my God. He couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag.
And this, I know I sound like a broken record, but Ben Roethlisberger, another year older,
he's
injured.
Another hit away.
And now he doesn't have Antonio Brown. He doesn't have Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. The it's going to sound crazy, but that is like the Browns division this year.
Yeah.
They're going to be coming for them.
Right. So, it'll be interesting to see who actually succeeds as the season begins and goes on. And, man, it's preseason already. You can feel the change happening.
I'm so excited to start watching football again.
Yes.
I'm really excited to see this Eagles team. I think they made a lot of good moves, and I want to see what a full off season with Carson Wentz and all those weapons can do. I'm really excited to see DeSean Jackson back. I think people are not giving that enough focus about how much he's going to change the offense, how much he's going to open up the run game, open up those two tight end sets with Goddard and Ertz. He's just going to push all those defenders back 5 to 10 yards.
Right. He's going to make the safeties have to play honest.
That's why we were so effective with really bad quarterbacks for a while there with DeSean Jackson, because he changed.
You had to put safeties further back, and they had to play honest.
Yeah. Remember those crazy offenses we had under Chip Kelly? It was DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy that did it. Not necessarily the quarterback. We had Sam Bradford.
Yep. On the flip side, since we got a little bit of time left, the worst teams ranked by Vegas. Number one, Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, woo! I mean, that makes sense. They're the worst overall?
Yes, 500-1. They're the furthest shot. There's no chance. That's a no chance bet that's never going to happen.
Who's their quarterback?
That's a good question. Because it's either going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, God.
Or the leftovers of Josh Rosen. Remember? He got traded during the draft.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, it's going to be real bad.
Yep. Second worst team, Arizona Cardinals at 300-1.
They're just botching their rebuilding so hard.
I mean, for a team that has so many holes, they spent their number one overall pick on you know, a quarterback that may not live up to expectations. Yeah, there's a lot of a lot of big question marks.
Yeah, but you're leaving out the fact that they've blown two top 10 picks on quarterbacks in back-to-back years.
Yes.
That is ridiculous. Yep. That is so much draft capital wasted. Just wasted at one position.
Yep. And then here's the rest of the dreck, all at 100-1. Get ready. This is a list.
It's a long list.
Yep. Both New York teams. Sorry, New York.
It's not your year.
You're SOL.
What,
yeah.
You mean Le'Veon Bell isn't going to completely change the Jets' fortunes?
Nope. Jets, Giants, Bengals, Bills, Buccaneers, Lions, Redskins, and the Titans. So there you go.
That all makes perfect sense.
If I said any of your teams, you have no hope.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, that's what Vegas says.
I think it's interesting the Titans are there because they were 9-7 last year. They weren't terrible, but they weren't good either.
Yeah, not great, not terrible.
Not great, not terrible, yeah.
Right, they're
Chernobyl.
They're Chernobyl.
The Tennessee Titans are the Chernobyl. Oh, God. The Titans are the Chernobyl of the NFL. There you go. You heard it here first.
Right. 3.6 Ronken. Yep. So
that's how many points they're going to score this year. What do they have? They have nothing. They have a good defense, but that's about it.
Right. So there you go. Just to give you a sense of the landscape of NFL odds and what we're looking forward to. Man, you know, I got to admit, as much as the fun as I had with golf, this is now the best time of the year.
It really is.
Because now we got the preseason starting.
The weather's going to change. Football is back. Oh,
yep.
Man.
Yep. It's all going to start happening now. So, we're looking forward to bringing you week-to-week coverage of the football season as it happens. We'll have picks and analysis, and we'll cover the Eagles and... It'll be great. You'll stick along. You'll tag along with us for the ride in the upcoming season. So, it's a good time. But for right now, we got to wrap up the sports sampler. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We got a lot more show coming your way. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A man in Missouri was banned from passing go or collecting $200 when he actually started a fight at a Monopoly tournament and police sent him directly to jail. 69-year-old John Linton turned violent when he was asked to sit out from this year's tournament after he engaged in, quote, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Was he trying to steal money from the bank?
Probably, yeah.
There's always one person.
Yeah, always takes that extra $500 from the bank.
Yeah. You really want to drive people crazy? Have you ever played Cutthroat Monopoly?
What's the difference?
We would take all the property cards and deal them out at the start of the game so that everyone had at least one full set of colors so you could start building hotels on, like, your first or second turn. People were literally going bankrupt on, like, the fourth or fifth turn. It would just break hearts and destroy friendships. It was a horrible, horrible experience. I have serious PTSD from playing.
Yeah, you sound like those history documentaries.
Yeah.
You know, I remember back in 1910 during the height of the Monopoly era.
We gathered around the Monopoly board. We didn't know what we were getting into.
We heard of this cutthroat Monopoly. We never heard of this before.
We decided it could be nothing but a little bit of fun.
I wrote a letter to my fair Virginia. Dear Virginia.
Dear Virginia.
I've gone penniless here on Park Place.
If you do not hear from me, it means I've ventured past Boardwalk. I shall not return. Please know, I will always remember our time at the Waterworks. Love, your one and only Mr. Moneybags. I mean, sometimes when you play Monopoly, you do feel like that. You feel like you've hit a point where you're like, I can never be sane again.
I can't manage my own finances in the real world or in the fake Monopoly world.
Yeah, really? It's just like rubbing salt in the wound. That's like, it should be in the rules at this point. It's like the first person to knock somebody out.
Gets to sucker punch somebody.
Gets to sucker punch somebody.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. Looking forward to a new season of football. It's a good time of the year, in my opinion. But we do have other topics to get to that aren't in the sports realm. But actually, you know what? I just realized this is something that I like the way that you phrased this. Usually we do an entertainment entree, and it's, you know, like one or two big topics. We have your, this week in entertainment from Mike.
Right, right.
But this is kind of like we're going to do like a bunch of appetizers, it seems.
Yeah. Every once in a while when you go out to eat, you just want a little, you like small plates, you know, like tapas, a whole bunch of side dishes.
Yeah.
And that's what we got for you.
Right. So without further ado, let's officially launch into the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
No, it's horrible, and I need to warn the public not to play it.
Too late for that, nerd. Now that you've covered it, more people will buy it. And at $10 a pop, times a few million copies, I can buy all the rare and erotic animal feces I want.
Erotic? Don't you mean exotic?
I know what I said. And now, nerd, you will join me in showing the world the dark side of the PlayStation Store.
So there's a fresh new episode of The Angry Video Game Nerd, one of my favorite web series. Gilbert Gottfried is his special guest who acts as the video game developer behind the game that he critiques called Life of Black Tiger. It's a great 20-minute episode if you get a chance to watch it. But yeah, Gilbert Gottfried with the special celebrity cameo.
That's pretty cool.
On The Angry Video Game Nerd.
Pretty big celebrity that he got there.
Yeah.
Also got Macaulay Culkin, too.
Yeah, he's been getting like these celebrities now.
Huh.
It's really cool. You know, that, you know, he started, you know, just filming himself.
Right.
And now he's like got a full-blown production and
celebrity
cameos.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a great web series. I can't believe he's still going strong with it and how successful it is. So shout out to the Angry Video Game Nerd. And if you haven't gotten a chance to watch a new episode, or you completely forgot about the series, the new episodes have been great. The new one is called Life of Black Tiger. You just put that in YouTube and you'll be able to find it. So yeah, just shout out to the Angry Video Game Nerd. Definitely love that series. All right, now it's time to get to the portion of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up this week in movies, TV, and video games. Hopefully not the dark side of the PlayStation Store. But it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
All right, well, hopefully it's not a shameful day. When you're perusing the dark side of the PlayStation Store.
Well, whoops, it's a dark side. It's a shameful day in movies this week.
We've reached
peak stupidity here with this one, folks. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw releases this week. This is the actual synopsis on IMDb. Quote, lawman Luke Hobbs and outcast Deckard Shaw form an unlikely alliance when a cybergenetically enhanced villain threatens the future of humanity.
Because you suck, Hulk Hogan, and you
suck Hulk Hogan ass.
Okay.
This series started as a racing franchise. What is going on with this?
Yeah, this is...
I don't understand. Maybe I missed something along the way. Well, when did...
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
When did cyber genetically enhanced villains threaten the future of humanity? How does racing play into this? I feel like I missed something along the way.
Yeah, all eight movies.
Yeah, something like that. I have to say,
I never got into it. I never got the boat on it.
Maybe it's a lot better than it seems, but it just seems ridiculous to me. I do have to say, though, that being said, it currently has a not terrible 68% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 60% on Metacritic, both of which are better than the recent remake of The Lion King. Ouch.
Yeah, take that, Disney.
Yeah, Disney's not doing so hot with those live-action remakes. But you know what is doing pretty hot is Glow returning to Netflix on television for its third season this Friday. The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling are taking their show to Las Vegas this year with Gina Davis joining the cast. That looks really good. If you haven't been following Glow, it is hilarious. It is the perfect length. It's a half-hour show, only 10 episodes. Finish that in a weekend. Go check out Glow Season 3 coming out this Friday. But also, for all you 90s kids out there, coming to Netflix, Rocko's Modern Life Static Kling, a one-off revival of the Nickelodeon animated series from the 90s. I loved Rocko's Modern Life as a kid.
Oh, yeah. It was a great cartoon day.
Laundry day is a very dangerous day.
Yep, great cartoon. This is a great day to see that it's coming back. Where is it just called Nickelodeon?
No, it's Netflix.
Oh, it's Netflix. Oh, yes, yeah, perfect.
Netflix is doing a one-off revival of the Nickelodeon series. I like this partnership that Nickelodeon formed with Netflix with this.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than Nickelodeon trying to do it on their own. You know, it being backed a little bit by Netflix, I feel like gives it a better chance of being good.
Yeah. And so, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out. That's Rocko's Modern Life Static Kling coming to Netflix. Glow Season 3 coming to Netflix. Lots of great stuff coming to Netflix. And finally, in video games, a new month equals new free games for Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus subscribers. But the big release was last Friday's Madden NFL 20. We previously talked about the Eagles being the highest rated team in this year's game. So if you're an Eagles fan like we are, looking to get a head start on the football season, you definitely want to pick up this one.
Oh, yeah. Good way to whet the appetite as you get ready for the preseason. Yep.
That's right. As the Eagles march their way to another Super Bowl win, you can do so as well in Madden NFL 20 out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC now. Go check it out. And that's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, so there you go. That's some things to keep an eye on this weekend if you're looking for something new. So, like I said, to start off the entertainment entree, we have some appetizers to talk about. This first one, though, is serious, and it's something that it's one of those things where it blurs the line, where we don't like to delve directly into politics.
Yeah.
But when media that we love or media that we enjoy get called out from political figures, that's when we feel like it necessitates a response.
Yeah, worlds are colliding in this first side dish. So we're going to dive into it. We're going to try to handle it as tactfully as possible. Basically, the recent mass shootings in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, Texas, have left the country shocked and saddened, of course. Our thoughts and hearts go out to the victims and their families. That goes without saying. But every time an event like this occurs, it causes a great deal of sadness and anger for a variety of reasons, many of which we could probably fill an entire two-hour show with. But we're not going to, because it's not our job and it's not the right forum. We don't think this is the right place for it or the right time for it. And we're not equipped to deal with the serious topics that are surrounding this issue. That's not what this show is about. But we bring this up because, as is always the case, sometimes these issues blur the lines, like Rich said, as people look for answers and try to make sense of the senseless, heinous acts. And sometimes in doing so, people look in places that we wouldn't necessarily expect and bring into this larger, serious issue other tangentially related issues that affect us on this show. And one area that we didn't think would get dragged into the conversation but has been recently, which has a direct relevance to us and the Crispy Noodle, is, of course, one of our favorite pastimes, video games.
Yeah.
President Trump gave a statement this past Monday about the horrible acts in Dayton and El Paso. He said, quote, "We must stop the glorification of violence in our society. This includes the gruesome and grisly video games that are now commonplace. It is too easy today for troubled youth to surround themselves with a culture that celebrates violence." As two big video gamers, Rich, we feel like it's our, I don't know, responsibility, duty to address this. With video games being made the target, the scapegoat for these horrible acts, we need to talk about this subject. Are violent video games a contributing factor? Do violent video games make violent people?
And I think the answer you're going to expect from us is absolutely not.
Absolutely no.
It blows my mind that politicians are still willing to point the finger at video games. I tweeted, what year is this, 1994?
Yeah.
This is such an old and frankly illogical argument.
It's illogical and ill-conceived. I mean, it seems like we're treading, you know, old waters, it's because we are. In this country in particular, we have a long history of demonizing whatever the popular thing is at the time, right? In the 20s, it was, you know, jazz music. It was, you know, the dance and the swing and everything like that. In the 40s and 50s, it was comic books. In, you know, other eras, it was
60s, it was rock music.
Rock music, and then heavy metal music, and then rap music. And now it's video games. And we seem to have not learned from the past. If jazz and swing and rock and roll and heavy metal and rap didn't make killers and drug users and horrible human beings, then why would video games now all of a sudden start to cause these things? It doesn't make any sense. We've always had bad people, and we're always going to have bad people. So bringing video games into it, it just doesn't hold any water. It's just more of the same scapegoating argument we've seen for decades, centuries in this country.
Yeah, and it's just, frankly, it's just lazy, you know?
It is.
That's literally just a way to be like, oh, it's all them, and there's nothing we can do about it because video games are over there, and, you know, unless you actually want to ban video games or something, which, oh my God, that would be ridiculous if a politician ever does that, which I'm sure one or two of them might actually be thinking that. But it's actually, when you think about it, it's a lazy way to just place the blame and leave right. The topic.
It's deflect and pivot,
yeah.
Right? You're deflecting and you're pivoting. You're like, oh, we'd like to talk about all these other issues, which, again, we're not going to talk about, and we're going to pivot to video games because it's easy. And people don't get it. And it's new, and it's scary, and it's technology. And we all know how bad technology is. That one time the TV didn't work, Rich. You know, we know, ooh, technology, it's evil, it's bad for us. So it is a simplified way of looking at it that people who are not in the know can wrap their mind around. And they can play sound bites and show gameplay clips of violent video games. And yes, there are violent video games. But do you know how many people I've killed in video games? Tens of thousands. Do you know how many people I've killed in real life?
Zero.
Up to this point, zero.
Yeah.
Don't push me, people. I shouldn't joke about that. But in all seriousness, there's never been a psychological study that has drawn a causal relationship between violent video games and violent acts.
Right. Matter of fact, I think there's one that went viral in response to this, where a researcher famously claimed that there's no more of a direct linkage from video games to violence than there is bananas to violence as well.
People, no, you're absolutely right. It's correlations. People play with correlations, right? If correlation proved causation, then the joke paper I wrote in high school about global warming causing the decline of the pirate population would be 110% factual. It isn't, because it doesn't make any sense. Correlation right. doesn't prove causation.
Right.
Just because two things trend in the same direction doesn't mean that's the case. What about
my favorite example of that is there's a chart you can Google where it shows the timeline of people using Internet Explorer and the timeline of murders in California.
Yeah.
And it goes, it matches the same direction. And you're like, oh, there you go. Internet Explorer yep. was
why
this
we
whole
talking
time.
About, why aren't we talking about Internet Explorer, Rich?
This whole time it was Internet Explorer.
I mean, when I have to use it at work, it makes me want to kill people.
That damn E, I don't trust it.
That stupid, yeah, what is it? An E with like a little, it's like a planet E? I don't even know what it is.
There's a knife behind it.
There's a knife behind it?
Yeah, it just comes out.
The E, is it has a knife behind its back, ready to stab you.
Right.
But, I mean, all this does is highlight the ridiculousness of this argument. The fact that video games are somehow responsible for this. It's not. I would argue that there are so many more benefits to video games than there are negatives. I mean, there have been studies that have shown, you know, increased cognitive ability and better spatial awareness and eye-hand coordination and coping mechanisms. There's lots of video games now that deal with really serious emotional issues that veterans use to cope with PTSD, that people going through hard times with depression play and feel better. They're used as teaching tools.
I would suggest video games, especially right now, they're almost as high as an art form as movies right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting to that point.
There are some video games that I think have better storylines and better character development than movies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It allows you to explore things safely and in a constructive way, you know, because you're not going out and actually doing these things. It's a safe release to, you know, just, it's like reading a book or watching a movie. It's that escapism, right? But it doesn't mean that it gets dragged into reality. If you're a normal functioning human, you're able to make that divide. You know what I mean? The same type of people that would have creating that divide are the same type of people that would watch terrible movies and not be able to create that divide. You know, so it's not a thing about video games. It's just, it's whether or not you are actually capable of differentiating between reality and fiction.
If you're willing to ban video games, then you have to go all out. You have to ban movies. You have to ban TV. You have to ban books.
Let's talk about how the media focuses on violent events. You know, I mean, it's on the news in the morning, you know, when the kids are getting ready for school and stuff. It's all over the news.
Yeah.
You know, how does that affect them?
Do you ban morning shows that cover it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a slippery slope, and they can't because it's protected by the First Amendment. It's an art form. It's protected as freedom of speech. So, you know,
I think it's incredibly screwed up that we have people that I think would be willing to do it.
Oh, yeah.
That we have politicians that they would love to just sign like a bill to get rid of all this stuff, stuff that they don't agree with, and be like, oh, that's it, problem solved.
Yeah,
like no, that's not how this works.
Yeah, and like you said earlier at the top of the segment, it is incredibly lazy.
Yeah,
it is
absolutely.
It is so easy to vilify something you don't understand than tackling the underlying issues. And like we also said time and time again, studies just don't back it up. The science, the psychology of it doesn't back it up. I mean, you're talking about an industry that makes billions of dollars, that has hundreds of millions of users across the globe. Don't you think that we'd be in a constant state of all-out anarchy?
Yeah, if this actually was true.
I'm reading the CBS News article. 165 million Americans play video games. It's more than half the population.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we just be in a constant state of warfare? And also, let's tackle the very term of video games. Video games includes everything from, yes, Grand Theft Auto, all the way down to Candy Crush.
Yeah, that's right. So, you can't play Candy Crush if you're against
this. To use these broad, sweeping statements, these grand universalizing statements to say all video
VR.
Games...
VR! That's another thing, too. You know, this is something personal, because obviously, when we do the game show marathon in June, all of our money that we raise goes towards Child's Play.
Right.
And not only do they provide regular video games for kids in hospitals, but their new venture is VR. And it's really amazing, because when you have kids that are stuck in hospitals across the country, for them to be able to put on a VR headset and for them to have like an outdoor experience in the VR set is so life-changing for these kids that are in hospitals. You mean to tell me that all because we have Grand Theft Auto, we can't have all video games now? Get the hell out of here.
I mean, that that was strangely powerful, Rich. I mean, the very notion of that. And that's what I think is important to take away from this, is that there's so many benefits. And I'm not here to say that video games are the end-all be-all, it's a perfect art form or whatever. You know, it definitely has its problems, and the industry could be...
Yes, are there clunkers like Life of Black Tiger?
Right.
Yes, obviously. That's why we have the angry video game nerd, and he steers us clear of the crappy video games.
Exactly. But what I am here to say is that it's wrong to vilify an entire industry, an entire art form, because you disagree with a few key elements of it.
Yeah.
And it's wrong to throw it into the spotlight when it shouldn't be in the spotlight.
Right. And I can't believe just the scale of how far this has gotten. Politicians, now President Trump. I mean...
But we've done this before. I think it's funny. On Game Informer, they reposted an article that they posted back in May of last year, because it was the same conversation after another mass shooting when video games got brought up.
Yeah.
And it's like, when are we going to stop bringing video games into it and start looking at all the other issues, you know? But until then, we're not going to solve all the problems in front of these microphones. You know,
right.
We'd like to solve all the world's problems here at this table, but it's not going to happen. And that's why we concern ourselves with something a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah. So let's get into another issue here that suddenly became an issue right before we were recording. This is the actual side dish that we have planned for you. So I can't believe we're going to talk about this. We got to solve this riddle, this enigma that's wrapped around in a puzzle. We're going to talk about Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah.
God damn it.
This is happening.
What the hell?
Buckle up. You're about to go on a ride.
Yeah. I have to say this. I almost, we're just explaining this now to our audience, but for me personally, I feel I have post-traumatic stress disorder
from
going on this damn Hawaiian pizza debate. So, Mike, would you like to tell people how this all started here in the Crispy Noodle headquarters?
What is up with this music?
I feel like I have PTSD.
So is this like the calming music you need? Like, what is this?
This is necessary.
Okay.
All right. I've been through war because of this.
Okay. Well, let me. Well, I hope this isn't too traumatic to take you back. It all began one lonely recording night when we had. Actually, it began with pineapple ice cream on top of pineapple cake. We were all pineappled out, and we somehow transitioned into talking about Hawaiian pizza. And we discovered in talking about Hawaiian pizza that we all had very strong feelings on both sides of this age-old debate, this conflict.
Yes.
And this debate raged and it raged, and we argued about fruit and cream-based combos, and we argued about the salty and sweet combos, and we argued about pineapple and tomato sauce, how it just didn't go together. And we talked about how, you just haven't had the right Hawaiian pizza. You only had it from your terrible college cafeteria. And we argued about the origins of the pizza pie. And then we said, no more. Enough. We need to settle this one way or the other. And we decided upon a tiebreaker.
Yes.
And that's when Rich called his mom.
Yes. Yes. I figured that would be the ultimate impartial authority. But which, by the way, the reason why the first thing I thought of was my mom was because your mom, Mike, said all of a sudden, you're Italian.
That's right.
You're supposed to know this. And I'm like, I didn't. What?
My mom did. My mom brought Rich's heritage right in. She's like, you're Italian. You shouldn't like Hawaiian pizza. This is a crime against your Italianness.
I mean,
not in those terms, but in so many words.
Yeah.
So Rich feeling on the defensive.
Right.
He had to go to, you know, his mom because that's where he gets his Italianness from.
Right. My mom's completely Italian, so I figured if there's one way to end this debate, it would be with her. If she gives us an answer, maybe this whole pineapple pizza situation would finally be over.
Over. Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
But wow. like Rambo, I suffered PTSD from this answer. My mom actually called us back, and she said...
She gave the only possible answer to make the debate even worse.
Yes.
Which is a talent in and of itself.
Yeah, good job, Mom. So, yeah.
So tell everyone what she said. So, you asked her, you said, Mom, do you like Hawaiian pizza? Do you like pineapple on pizza?
And she says, yes, I like pizza from Hawaii. And I said, that's not what I asked. I said, do you like the Hawaiian pizza? And she says, yes, but I like the one without tomato sauce. I said, that's not Hawaiian pizza. Hawaiian pizza is regular pizza with pineapples and ham on it. And she goes, oh, I don't think I've ever had that. What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought everyone has at least tried it.
Yeah. So apparently, as your mom described, she had, quote unquote, Hawaiian pizza, but it was pizza from Hawaii, like actual the state of Hawaii.
Right. And according to her, in Hawaii, they don't actually put tomato sauce on Hawaiian pizza.
Right. So there you go. Just a third option. We didn't realize there was a third option, but there's a third option.
So now there's pro Hawaiian pizza, anti Hawaiian pizza, and then Hawaiian pizza that's actually from Hawaii.
And which isn't like any other type of Hawaiian pizza.
Correct.
So not helpful, but also incredibly helpful in helping us develop the segment.
Do you guys see how I'm starting to suffer from PTSD right now? Oh my God. I can't end this debate. It's not over.
Tell us, Rich.
What's Nothing wrong? Is over.
The pineapples haunt you in your sleep.
Oh, God.
As you shut your eyes, all you see are those golden discs
floating
around.
All I ever said was, I happen to enjoy Hawaiian pizza. And
how dare you?
This
and
is it.
It sparked a debate that would rage and rage for hours and hours.
Yes.
So much so that we've decided that next week, we're going to try Hawaiian pizza. All of us here at Crispy Noodle headquarters.
Yes, we gotta figure this out one way or the other. We gotta figure this out.
You betray the law!
Did I betray the law by saying I like Hawaiian pizza?
Did I just not give it enough of a shot? I don't know. But we'll find out. Tune in next week.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. There's still more stuff about this.
There is. There's a side note because I discovered the most heinous fact about Hawaiian pizza ever. Are you ready for this nonsense?
Yep.
And this is also why I hate it. It doesn't make any sense. It is an Italian-style food created by a Greek in Canada, named after Hawaii, but only eaten in mainland U.S. It is an abomination to food, Rich. An abomination.
Because it's been
Italian, Greek, Canadian, Hawaiian, and mainland U.S. It doesn't make any sense.
It's been bastardized all the way through those processes.
The whole way from start to finish. It doesn't make any sense. Hawaiian pizza is the odd news of pizza. It should not exist. It is a crime against food.
Well, maybe that's why I like it then, because I love researching odd news.
Yeah, there you see, we've hit on something here in this segment. We didn't think that we would come to closure, but I think we may have just found it. Rich is drawn to the oddness of it, the randomness of it.
Maybe.
His taste buds are enthralled, thrilled at the concept of these completely just combative flavors being forced together in this beautiful bouquet of nonsense.
On a pizza.
And high food crime.
But I like it. Let it be. This is America. If I want pineapple and ham.
But it's an Italian food made in Canada by a Greek.
This is America. We live in America, all right?
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Nothing is over. Let me believe what I want to believe.
Oh, the debate continues. I can't wait to try actual Hawaiian pizza and know once and for all what its story is.
Yes. All right. Let me be. Let me enjoy my pineapple and ham in peace.
Well, next week, we're going to do it. People think we're kidding. We're not.
Yeah. We're
going to
have.
We're actually going to order Hawaiian pizza next week for dinner and try it.
Right. We're going to have a big pizza party because we got to figure this out one way or the other. And Mike's got to make a decision on whether or not
I got to make a decision.
Yeah, because you
already know.
I know. I like it. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable with my pizza preferences.
I It was so weird. Some people are like, I'm comfortable in my sexuality. You're like, I'm comfortable in my pizza preferences, okay?
Yes, all right.
I'm not ashamed to have my favorite types of pizzas.
Right. I put that in my dating profile.
That's right.
There you go. Right on the top.
I'm very comfortable in my pizza preferences.
That's how I got Rachel. She likes pineapple. She likes Hawaiian pizza.
Oh, wow.
So
there you go.
I got somebody in my corner.
Perfect match. You guys can go have your crazy, horrible tasting food together. No offense.
I
don't mind about offending you. I don't want to offend Rachel.
I hope next week when we have the pizza party.
Oh, I will never admit that it's good.
You have the first bite and you go, oh, I hope you do it.
I'm never going to admit that it's good. You know that, right?
Come on.
I will try. I will say this. The only time I've had it was at the crappy college cafeteria where they reuse the pasta sauce.
That's not fair.
No, that's not fair. I admit that's not fair. So I will give it another shot. I just said I ate camel and python jerky at the top of the show. So I'm not opposed to eating weird stuff. I've eaten ostrich and alligator and shark and all sorts of animals. I'm like, what was it? Darwin. Didn't he go around killing all these, you know, endangered animals and eating them? That's me. I'm the 21st century version of Darwin, killing and eating random animals. And the next animal I got to kill and eat is the Hawaiian pizza.
Yes, that's next. But if this debate continues on any further, I feel like the 2019 version of Food Rambo.
Over. Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
See, I can't turn it off.
No, you can't turn it off.
Once I got addicted to Hawaiian pizza, that was it.
You can't turn off your
love.
I can't
turn it off, Mike. Nope. This is it. My life right here.
Well, next week we will have a final decision. All of us here at the headquarters, we're going to try it. Like what? Like 6 or 7 of us.
Yeah.
And we're going to decide once and for all whether or not Hawaiian pizza is good or not.
That's right.
We will have a definitive answer. The only answer going forward. All of society will refer back to that podcast as the definitive answer on Hawaiian pizza. Wow, Rich, we have such responsibility ahead
of us.
Yeah,
next week's going to be a big show now all of a sudden.
Yeah, wow.
All right, well, there you go. Hell of a teaser to end the entertainment entree on and a crazy topic there. But that's the nature of the entertainment entree. However, you may feel full after that topic, but we got one more thing coming your way. Dessert, if you will, and that is what I mentioned. The odd news. I got the non-fortune cookie odd news. I've got fresh news stories that you need to hear. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Plans have been greenlit to officially create a full-blown replica of the ill-fated ship, the Titanic.
Bad optics much?
Yeah.
What are they making, like an actual Titanic 2.0, like a new Titanic?
Yes, you're thinking absolutely right.
No.
Spearheaded by Australian mining tycoon Clive Palmer, the shipping company Blue Star Line has announced its plans. They are going to actually build Titanic 2.
Remember that ship that sank and killed thousands of people? We're going to recreate that 2AT. And people are like, wait, what?
Blue Star Line will create an authentic Titanic experience.
Okay. What was the Titanic experience? Dying on a door in the middle of the ocean.
They have also said that there will be enough lifeboats for everyone on board.
You see, you know you're off to a bad start when the legacy of this particular project forces you to say, don't worry, there's going to be enough lifeboats.
I also think it's really weird this is just one person, like, you know, spearheading this, you know?
Who is this crazy...
He's a mining tycoon from Australia, Clive Palmer.
That's
this is literally just one guy going like, I want to build a Titanic! Here we go!
For some reason, this Australian is from Texas.
Sorry, he's Australian.
Yeehaw! I don't know what country I'm from!
Here's $500 million! Build a boat, see?
That's what he did. He stormed out of his office one day. Boom! Door flies open. Build me a boat! And he just throws money! And people are like,
just,
what?
He's pelting his assistant. Yeah.
Build me a boat! Build me a boat!
You see this movie? I want this one! Sir, can we get a yacht? No, this one right here on this VHS game.
He's holding up the battered VHS box of Titanic.
I want this one.
That That is how I picture this person, because a sane, rational, normal functioning human being would probably not go this route.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done with the sports and the entertainment portions of our show and the side dish. So hopefully you're not too full, because we got dessert coming your way in our final segment of the show. What is it time for, Mike?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's been a while for you.
It has been a while. I'm so excited. It's one of my favorite segments. It's time for the Wacky the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo, odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen, because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and I'm ready to get started. It's been too long, Rich.
Yes, it has.
Since I've been in the odd news. It was fun listening to an episode that I wasn't a part of last week, but I got to get back into the thick of things myself.
Yeah, we got to get your odd news tolerance back up.
Yes. So I hope you pick some good ones this week. What do you got for us?
All right. First story, going to Louisiana.
Good old Louisiana.
Yep. And it's a story that you've heard before, but this may be a new record.
Okay.
In what may be a United States record for currency hidden inside of a body cavity.
Oh, my God.
A woman was found to have more than $6,000 in stolen cash inside her hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah.
Wow. I know some woman who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
$6,000 in cash.
$6,000.
Wow.
I know some woman who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
So tell me, does it have the breakdown of bills?
No,
because I need to know, because at the most, right, figure it's $100 bills.
We're going to get there. Yeah, it does have a break. All right, we'll get into it.
Okay.
Here's the story first. 23-year-old Ashley Beth Rollin was the subject yesterday of a TSG story reporting that she was busted after she was stealing cash from her boyfriend. She denied ownership of meth. And confronted cops. So, yeah, she's a winner.
Wow. Yeah,
a winner,
she's
right
doing
here.
It all.
Yeah, just bam, bam, bam.
Stealing drugs and confronting cops.
Yeah. So the cash was located when there was a consensual search of Rollins' person conducted by a female corrections officer.
Okay.
As it turned out, she also had meth in there, too. Wow.
Wow, it's just... It's like it's like a little fanny pack.
One stop shop there.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is what happens when you don't put pockets on women's pants.
That is true.
Yeah, you know, you can't blame them. You can't blame them.
That is true. That is a problem. There needs to be more pockets in women's clothing.
That's right.
I will agree. But for the time being, though, I don't think it's safe to store your items up the old hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah!
So, yeah. Are you ready to
yeah, I
got, dive into this?
I got to know the bill breakdown here.
So the final total was 62 $100 bills.
Wow.
And $33 made of tens, fives, and singles.
That's a lot of bills.
Yes. Altogether, it came out to $6,233.
Wow.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you said 62 $100 bills and then like a handful of other bills.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking at least close to 70 bills. That's a lot.
Yes.
Like, my wallet gets really fat and unable to close if I have like 10 bills in there. So I can't imagine.
We got a fat stack.
Yeah. Got a fat stack of cash. So I can't even imagine what 70 bills would be like.
Yeah.
And I'm just ballparking 70.
That's like the mobsters when they would have like the cash to hand off to people.
It's like the rubber banded stack of cash.
Yeah.
You know? Like a fat wad. And she's got room for meth in there too.
Yeah, and she had meth in there
she's
too.
She's got room to spare. She's gonna rent it out or something.
Yeah, you need storage. Yeah.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, she disavowed ownership of the meth, but she owned the money. Oh boy,
wait,
how convenient.
So how do you disavow the meth though?
Yeah.
It was inside of her.
That's not mine.
How did that get there?
Yeah. But yeah. The money is completely mine. How dare you?
Right, exactly.
How dare you assume I stole that? You can't have it both ways.
No, you can't.
You got to choose one or the other.
Have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, either it's all a mistake
or
some sort of weird tragedy where they both went up your hoo-ah, or own both of it. You can't have it both ways.
You know, she sat on a seat where this stack of bills was standing upright. Alongside a thing of meth, and it went right up there.
Went right up in there.
Right, and for some reason she was completely naked and just
no underwear.
Right, and it just went right up there.
Tractor beam. It just
tractor beam. Yeah,
it just went right up in there.
Oh my god, a tractor beam.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But you can't say the cash is mine, but the meth is not. Get out of here.
Like, how do you not know there's meth up there when you're putting the cash up there?
Yeah. she remains locked up in the county jail on an $8,000 bond. I mean, she has 6,200. I mean,
she's right there.
Yeah. Just needs somebody to put up another 1,800.
Yeah. I don't know. She should just check her other orifices.
Yeah.
She may be able to come up with the change.
Yeah. Check the other one.
Right.
This woman's a walking bank.
She's an ATM.
Yeah. Dual ATM.
Well, one's for bills, one's for coins.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there you go.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Yikes. Oh, wow. See, that's why you got to be careful with money. You never know where it's been.
Yeah.
You know?
Sad but true. You're absolutely right. Well, is it still true that, like, apparently 1% of all bills have
like
cocaine on them or something?
Yeah, I was going to say the cocaine thing. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
But all I know is that money is dirty.
Yeah. Well, we have stories like this.
Exactly, right.
Yeah. All right. Woo. What a story to come back on, right, Mike?
You're starting it off strong. What else you got for us? Got money up the old hoo-ah. What else?
All right. Next.
What else is up there?
Next, we're going to Pittsburgh in our next story here.
Okay. Pennsylvania. The wrong side of Pennsylvania, but
yeah.
Pennsylvania nonetheless.
Yeah, this is definitely the wrong side. Police arrested 20-year-old Grace Marina Brown in connection with a potato tampering crime at a Walmart. Yeah.
What?
Potato. Yeah.
Potato tampering. Like,
yes.
Like she like fondled the potatoes or like did something bad to them or she stole them?
No. She identified herself as the person who decided to urinate on the potatoes at the local Walmart.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
That was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
Now, what's the point of urinating on the potatoes? What are you trying to accomplish? At least the lady in the other story, she was trying to hide drugs and meth. But what's the end goal here? Just to pee on potatoes?
I think so. According to investigators, the woman decided to relieve herself in the Walmart's produce section during a late-night visit to the store.
I mean, they have bathrooms, right?
I would assume so.
Yeah.
The morning after the incident, a Walmart worker noticed that there was urine on the floor near the potatoes.
Oh, God.
Which prompted a loss prevention officer to review security footage. That's when they saw a woman that was urinating in the potato bins at 10:10 p.m. the prior evening, according to police.
The prior evening?
Yeah. She did it, like, late at night, right before they closed.
And so when did they discover the urine?
Then the following morning.
Okay, the morning. So before anybody came and bought potatoes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
wow.
But you have just urine just there the entire night, you know,
that's
next
gross.
To produce.
That's got to be the worst job ever.
This caused the store to suffer more than $200 in fruit damages.
Time out. That's not true. Because potatoes are not fruit.
Whatever the aisle is.
No, they're wrong.
Okay, whatever.
I don't know. I'm just being a stickler for
weird
semantics.
Or maybe they placed the potatoes next to the fruit. I don't know. Whatever the hell this aisle is.
What is a potato? It's a root, right?
Yeah.
Is that a vegetable? Or is it just a root?
I
is it different?
I think technically it's a vegetable then.
It's
a starch.
Right. But does that make it a vegetable?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I like how we're actually baffled by this.
The point is
it's not a fruit and Walmart is wrong.
Whatever.
They should give her free potatoes for life.
Just because she noticed.
Because
she didn't even notice it. The point is she urinated on the potatoes and on all the whole aisle had to be cleaned out and removed.
That's gross. Yeah, because you don't know where the urine goes. You know, it's on the potatoes, but what else did it leach into the other displays?
Yeah,
you
got to clean out the entire display.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
And it also makes you wonder, like, that person caught it, but what if nobody caught it?
Yeah.
Like, how many potatoes have been peed on? How many pea potatoes have we eaten in our lives?
How about this? Just good rule of thumb. Do not get any sort of exposed food at Walmart.
That is a safe bet.
I think it's a safe measure.
Yeah, only the frozen stuff. I know people are like, oh, you can't buy frozen, but hey. Nobody's peeing on frozen potatoes.
I hope not.
But they're in a bag, so it's okay.
So Brown has been charged with open lewdness, criminal mischief, disorderly conduct, and public drunkenness. She admitted that she was drunk. That's why she decided to take a leak on the potatoes. I was drunk.
How difficult is it to pee on the potatoes? Like, because those stands, like, if I'm imagining correctly, you know those stands that they have, like the produce stands, right? You got to, like, climb up on top of it, right?
Just get one leg up there.
Just get one leg. But, like, you can't shoot it from, or maybe they're low enough, you can just shoot it from where you're standing.
The point
is she did it. It would have been just easier to squat and do it on the ground, is the point I'm making.
Well, she went
through a lot of effort to pee on the potatoes.
She must really not like potatoes.
And specifically the potatoes. Like, how was she going through the store where it was, like, right there at the potatoes? Like, did it just strike her all of a sudden? Or did
she go
specifically to the potatoes?
She must not like potatoes.
As some people don't, I guess.
She's not Irish. I know that.
No. That would be considered a war crime in Ireland,
I think so, yeah. We'll have to...
You can't pee on the potatoes. That's how the famine started, actually.
Wow.
A lot of people peed on potatoes, yeah, and it went into the soil.
There you go.
Little known fact there. You can definitely double check that.
There you go. So Grace Brown, you know, she was trying to start another potato famine.
In a local Walmart. Pittsburgh Walmart.
Walmart.
The great Pittsburgh potato famine.
Of 2019.
So sad. Yes. So tragic.
All right. I'm going to jump to Florida stories here because we got another pee story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy. Wow, you know it's a good week when there are multiple pee stories.
Yes. What a time to be alive.
I know, right?
A nightclub patron decided to relieve himself at a nightclub in their commercial ice maker on Saturday.
Oh.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful.
It's a shameful, shameful day.
Gross.
Right in the ice maker.
Oh.
Well, I've heard of yellow snow. I've never heard of yellow ice.
It's a snow cone.
It's a snow cone.
It's a lemon-flavored snow cone. Ugh.
Investigators say that 28-year-old Michael Williams was spotted urinating inside the ice chest that's used to distribute ice throughout 261st, which is a night spot in Florida. After relieving himself, he then tried to fight security guards. So, wow, yeah, just...
Well, he couldn't fight them while he needed to go.
Yeah.
You know, you can't concentrate.
The party that night at the nightclub was advertised as trendy with a touch of class. Yeah. Boy, way to class up Florida.
Yeah. Well, when the bar is set that low, I mean, anything classes it up.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
When police arrived, they arrested Williams on a misdemeanor disorderly conduct charge. They also found a bag of pot on him, so he also got a possession charge as well. He was released after posting a $400 bond.
So how did the one person get so many charges for her urinating on like a food thing, but this person didn't? He only got like the one charge.
Are they more accepting of people peeing on stuff?
In Florida?
Yeah. The one story's Pittsburgh, the other story's Florida.
I think the answer's yes.
Yeah.
I think they don't care. They're like, that's nothing. We have people pooping in driveways and peeing in the ice machine. That's nothing. You'll be fine.
People traveling with missiles. Yeah. This is low stuff.
The least of our worries, okay?
Yeah.
We have people claiming they're God robbing convenience stores on a weekly basis. Somebody peeing in the ice. That's totally fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
We got bigger fish to fry.
Go away. You're good.
Go away. You're good. I'm going to let you off with a warning.
Yeah.
No more peeing in the ice.
Right.
Sorry, officer.
Don't do it again now.
Am I allowed to poop in the ice? yeah. All Florida right. allows. Yeah. There's definitely a different standard there. Yep. That's how you know your state is just wrong. Like the very being of your state is wrong. It is inherently flawed somehow. When somebody urinating in a public ice machine thing only gets you like, what'd you say? A misdemeanor?
Yeah.
There's a slap on the wrist. They basically said, oh, don't
$400 bond. That's it.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
The lady that stuck money up her who had like 10 times that amount. This is people crazy.
Yeah.
Florida. Crazy, tell you.
All right. Well, that's why we're going to get to another Florida story here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Oh, I love this. We haven't gotten a chance to get. I've actually held on to this story for a while. Because it's short, there's not a whole lot of information, but I know you like wacky excuses. And
okay.
Boy, this is one I've never heard of, and as a cat fanatic, this is not something that happens, and I can verify it. So you've heard that there's an excuse for the dog eating the homework.
Right.
But how about a cat that accidentally downloaded kitty porn?
Wow. Yikes. No, I don't think that's how it works.
48-year-old Keith Griffin was charged last Wednesday with 10 counts of possession of child porn after 1,000 illegal images were found on his computer.
Oh, yeah. The cat downloaded 1,000 images.
And
okay.
When he was arrested, he told cops it wasn't his fault. It was the cat. That frisky little cat.
No. There's no way. That frisky little, that cat. Oh, what a pervert cat. There's no way. Because to like download stuff, you have to be able to move the mouse and click on stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just mashing the keyboard. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe you can. Should I mash my keyboard and see what happens?
See if you get porn?
Oh, God. All right. I'm just going to pretend I'm a cat. I'm mashing all the buttons. I hit enter. Yeah, nothing come up.
Okay.
Well, because it's impossible.
Griffin explained to cops that he would accidentally leave his computer on and the cat would jump on the keyboard and just like that, the images would be downloaded.
No.
Aha! Oh, yes. just like that.
No.
Yes.
No, it's impossible.
Exactly like that. And that's the end of that chapter.
Wow. No, he done goofed. The cat would jump on it and the images, oh, they're just there.
Because you done goofed.
Yeah, just like that. He,
so why did he keep them?
Yeah.
Okay.
If so you're...
Your cat is not only has opposable thumbs and can type and download stuff using a keyboard and mouse, but you noticed it and did nothing about it?
Yeah. Or how about take the cat out of the room?
Right. How about after the first image, you're like, hey, cat, stop downloading porn, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know who it's coming from because I backtraced it. And I know who's emailing and who's doing it. And you've been reported to the cyber police. Consequences will never be the same. Because you done goofed.
So yeah. There you go.
Man, that he really let that cat
that
have
that was
it.
The actual conversation.
Yeah, that was just really tense, dramatic stuff right there. But like, you know what I mean? Like the cops aren't like the download button isn't clicked and boom, they're kicking down the door. It doesn't work that way.
The download button. There's an actual key on the keyboard.
Right.
Download.
Download, yeah.
I hit this button, download.
And as soon as you hit that button, the cops kick in the door. And you get arrested right on the spot.
Sir, we noticed you hit the download button.
Right? That's a powerful button. Yeah. Whatever website you're on just grabs everything. Also, 1,000 pictures?
Yeah.
There's no... Yeah. I mean, it's clearly fake.
Yeah.
But why would he think? Like, there could have been... any... Say you got hacked. Say that, you know, like, oh, I accidentally downloaded a virus. Anything is better than the cat. Yeah. Come on.
He's being held in the county jail on a $250,000 bail. So I don't think he's getting out anytime soon.
No. But it's a shame it's a cat that should be in jail, not him.
That damn cat.
Damn cat.
Frisky cat. How dare you? All right. We're getting a little late, but I want to definitely hit this story. So another Florida story here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
This is crazy. This has to be one in a million shot. Somebody has to work out the odds of how this happened, but it happened, and it happened in Florida. A septic tank directly got hit by lightning.
Oh, wow.
Which caused a homeowner's toilet to literally explode.
Oh, no.
Yes. I'm talking full-blown explosion.
Oh, no.
This is not exaggeration. Uh-uh. Literally.
So when you say explode.
Yes.
That sound clip was somehow louder than the previous time.
That's
pretty
what
sure listeners just had heart attacks on the road.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, like, the poop came up out of it like a geyser, or just the entire toilet just went off like a grenade?
Yeah, both.
Both.
Yes, the toilet is no more.
So how does lightning make poop do that? Because it's a septic tank, right? So it's all the human waste and everything.
A significant amount of damage was done to the home, which was all caused in a millisecond, which left the family no time to react. Mary Lou Ward, the co-owner of the home, said it was the loudest sound she ever heard in her life. Like that. She said that it shattered the bathroom toilet into hundreds of pieces.
Wow.
It used to be our toilet. We have nothing now.
That sounds so sad.
Yep.
Poor toilet.
Hey, man. This is what you're dealing with. Also, all of the indoor plumbing got destroyed.
Wow.
All of it.
I really want to know, like, how that happens. The lightning hit the septic tank, and what? Did it, like, travel through the water? Because electricity and water and...
Well, the plumber says, their local plumber says that when the lightning hit, it hit methane gases from all the fecal matter built up in the pipes.
Oh, and so it's just that explosion just goes through all the pipes and tubes and every. Oh, wow.
Yep.
Well, great. Now there's something else to be worried about.
Yeah.
Lightning hitting your septic tanks.
Yeah. Ward said she thought the house was on fire. They smelled smoke, but then they noticed the smoke was coming from the septic tank and not inside the house. So, I mean, at least the house isn't on fire.
Exactly. I mean, that's a look. All they lost was the toilet and the bathroom, I assume.
Well, that whole part of the house too is the damage was also done.
Oh, that's
to
right. The plumbing. I forgot about the plumbing.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And also the outside, yeah, the wall is like damaged too.
Oh wow!
I'm telling you,
well, yeah, because the pipes are running through the walls and the floor. Yeah. And yeah,
there's pictures of it. You have to envision like it actually like an explosion happened, because like there's damage on the wall and on the outside of the home. It's pretty significant. According to Ward, the family's still finding pieces of broken decorations as far as across the property.
Wow!
Wow! That's how far it went. Sorry, Bob, I gotta collect this toilet paper holder.
Could you imagine if somebody had been sitting on that toilet when that happens?
Oh, that's it. Game over.
Oh, man.
It's literally gonna be tearing a new asshole.
Yeah, their bathroom is wrecked.
Yeah. Yeah, and Ward says in the news report, I'm glad none of us were on the toilet at the time. That's the main thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, it would have eviscerated them.
Yeah. So, yeah, another thing.
Porcelain straight up the butthole.
Yep. Another thing to be afraid about. Yeah, if you have a septic tank, yeah, there's a possibility. Yeah, if it gets hit directly by lightning, that.
Yeah, what are the odds of that, though?
Yeah.
I mean, getting struck by lightning is already crazy, like, ridiculous. Now you're telling me it hits a septic tank and it causes the whole plumbing system to explode?
It's like a bomb. It just sets an explosion in a chain of explosions into effect.
Makes you wonder, are there any sort of protections against that? Or do they just hope for the best? Like, oh well. Hope nothing bad happens to this.
I guess it's one of those things that it's so rare that you can't really
prevent it. Yeah. There's no reason to like prevent against it or think about it.
Yeah. All right, one more story. This is the last story, and of course another one from Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
There's a lot of Florida stories this week.
Oh, yeah. There's always Florida stories. There's always got to be a couple Florida stories. A Florida woman was arrested after she grabbed her husband's genitals with such force that the victim was crumpled over and had trouble walking when cops confronted the couple.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Oof.
Yeah.
God, why?
Literally a ball breaker here.
Yeah.
According to cops, 44-year-old Anastasia Tash, what a name, approached her husband while he was asleep at 5:30 in the morning on the couch.
And she just went straight for the balls?
And Tash walked over to the victim and without provocation forcefully grabbed his genitals.
No! God! No, God, please, no, 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 no.
And there had to be a reason, right? I hope she just didn't decide one day, I want to ruin his life.
She told cops that she was trying to arouse her spouse in an effort to have some sexual intercourse in the morning.
And but she did that with a death grip?
Yeah, that's not how it works. You don't death grip it, no.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
Yeah, I mean, they're sensitive. They're tender.
Yeah.
You can't just squeeze them like a
and
vice
especially
grip.
When he was asleep.
I know.
That's
that
not
is
how you
oh, my. I can't even imagine you just sleeping peacefully, having a great dream, and then the next second just crushing, debilitating pain.
Yeah.
Your ball's just getting popped right there.
Tash acknowledged that she was the one that executed the clamp down without the consent of her husband. He then rushed to the phone to call 911. Tash said that she was trying to do this in a sexual manner. Unless your husband
was a serious miscalculation.
Yeah, unless your husband has ever stated in the past that he likes his balls crushed or something.
I want my balls squeezed to the point of bursting.
Yeah. Like, no, that's not how this works at all.
No. God. That's vicious.
Yeah.
That poor guy. He was just taking a nap.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he's on the phone with the hospital like, my balls just got crushed.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. You're going to be okay.
Oh, God.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
She says that she shouldn't be charged because she did this in a sexual manner and
no.
She was trying to attempt to arouse the victim
so?
To have sexual intercourse. Yeah.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the intent was. What was the outcome?
Yeah. Tash was charged with domestic battery. So, yeah, she does get a charge thrown her way.
Well, that's good.
But, yeah, that's not how you do it.
Well, there's no permanent damage done. I mean, because think about it, you're like at a totally vulnerable and relaxed state. Like, there's nothing you can do to prepare for that. And then she just clamps down on it. That's not good.
Yeah.
It's messed up. You don't do that.
Nope.
You don't do that. You can cup them. You can fondle them. But you don't crush them.
Yeah.
It's a big no-no.
Right. You don't squeeze it like a baseball or something.
Right. You're not trying to pitch a ball or something.
Yeah. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But before we officially end the show, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I can learn. That's what I learned. I learned that you can do a lot of things with balls, but don't crush them.
No, not good.
A big no-no.
Not good.
Apparently more people need to learn that. I also learned there's something else to be terrified of. Lightning can explode your poop in your septic tank.
If you have a septic tank, yeah, be worried.
So there you go. Get that lightning protection for your septic tank. I don't even know if that's possible. Probably not.
Insurance companies create this.
Yeah, exactly. You can make a killing.
Yeah.
Protect your poop. It's so catchy.
Protect your plumbing.
Yeah.
How about that?
I also learned you need protection from a lot of things, especially your cat, because it's just downloading porn all the time on your computer.
Those frisky little cats.
I know. I had no idea that cats had opposable thumbs and could navigate the internet and use a keyboard and mouse to download thousands of pictures. And they all just do it with that calm, placid, just emotionless, just like that. That's the only thing it's thinking and saying when it's downloading horrific porn on your computer.
Yep.
I also learned that, speaking of horrific things, Florida is very accepting of people peeing on like public things.
Yeah. I guess it's not a big deal down there.
Yeah, somebody peed in the ice machine. They're like, $400, whatever.
Yeah, $400 would call it even.
Yeah, that was totally weird. On the other hand, Pittsburgh here almost had their own potato famine when somebody peed on the potatoes in the Walmart.
Oh, how dare they?
They took it very seriously.
Yes.
As they should.
We can't have famine.
That's right. That's how the potato famine started. Somebody peed on the potatoes.
Yep.
And nobody could eat them.
There you go. Yep.
There you go.
Worldwide catastrophe.
That's right. History alive and well here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And finally, we learned that the age-old Hawaiian pizza debate will rage on for just one more week. Because next week, we will decide it once and for all.
Yes.
On the podcast.
Yes, please. We need to have a final answer on this.
That's right. We must finally put Rich's mind at ease. We'll test the Hawaiian pizza, and we'll come to a conclusion.
Sounds good to me. And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I don't if I know what we did.
Oh, man, and there you go, folks. Another crazy episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast in the books. Thank you for tuning in and listening to our wacky little show. If you like what you heard, make sure to go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle, and on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find all of our videos, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. That's the big one. You get all of the pot. You get every. Oh my God, I can't talk. See that?
Yeah,
one,
it's been a while.
1 week removed, and I forget my spiel. Every Thursday, you get the latest episode downloaded for free. So make sure you search for download and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcasting service of your choice.
That's right. Every Thursday, make sure that you check your podcast feed because you have a new episode waiting for you of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the promos of the podcast, the best bits of the show, shrunk down into a quick promo clip that you can easily listen to with friends and family. The craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports, entertainment, and odd news stories, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on Twitter. Let us know what's going on. If there's any news topics that you want us to tackle head on, send it our way and we'll take it under advisement. Or if you found any odd news that you want us to react to, send it my way. And yeah, we'll take all considerations, all submissions under consideration. And yeah, it's fun. And also you can see what we're up to, you know, outside of the podcast. You know, if I'm at a concert or something, I usually try and get a, you know, some sort of photo or message up. So yeah, it's fun to follow us on Twitter. But for right now, we have come to the end of this episode. Thank you for listening. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I think that will do it. Mike, it feels good to be back, right?
It's great to be back.
That's right. Just in time for football coming up the future. So it's all looking good from here on out. But for right now, we got to end it. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Copia.
How you doing, United States of America?
No, well, I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!
Oh.